Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we take a look ahead to the Packers' next opponent, Monday Night Football in the city of brotherly love. Not the way the fans treat people, from what we understand. but Packers headed to Philadelphia to face the Eagles on Monday night. And a unique situation here, a former Packers player, Doug Peterson, was a backup quarterback to Brett Favre for a number of years here in Green Bay. The head coach now for the Eagles, going to coach against his former club.
Yeah, and Mike, it's really interesting. I have never had a chance to talk with Doug Peterson, never met him. But the stories I've heard over the years in terms of from the beat writers, and it sounds like he's one of the most gentlemanly individuals you'll ever meet. I don't know, maybe Matt Hasselbeck, but I mean, otherwise, I don't know anyone that's ever been held in higher regard in terms of just how he dealt with the media and kind of his attitude in the Packers locker room. He seems like the kind of guy that everybody likes, and if you have an issue with him, it's probably on you. That's the impression I got. And just a meteoric rise that he's had here with Philadelphia. I mean, you look 10 years ago, the head coach at Calvary Baptist Academy, now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's quite the ascent.
Yeah, for sure. And you talk about his personality and dealing with the media. That's not a tough situation not an easy situation when you're the backup quarterback to Brett Favre, and you basically know that you're never going to play because Brett Favre is never going to miss a game. And very businesslike guy in terms of how he was as a player, and certainly the same as a head coach. And just an illustration in some ways of how unscripted our show is. Right before we turned on the cameras here, we were trying to think of another former Packers player who would have been a head coach against Green Bay in a game. And the only one we could come up with was Forrest Gregg, who was the head coach of the Bengals in the early 80s when they faced the Packers a couple of times. So this is kind of, as far as we could tell in our brief research, kind of a unique situation.
It is, and especially for it to be as recent as it is. I mean, Doug's only 48 years old and, 12 years out of the league now. This is pretty new in terms of being able to come in here into Green Bay and, coach against his former team. But the thing about him, just from a football mindset, you heard Brett Favre all those years talk about what an asset he was on the sidelines, how much he held him in high regard. And think about a guy like Andy Reid. I mean, okay, so, in 1999, Reid starts building his program in Philadelphia. He brings in Peterson right away to kind of usher in that era. And then as soon as he gets into the quarterback ranks and the quality control ranks in 2009, gets back in touch with Reid and kind of followed him through Kansas City. And next thing you know, he's a head coach. And I think that says a lot about him in terms of how people have vouched for him in the past and how he's produced when given the opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of an up and down season so far for the Eagles. They start out 3-0. They're the talk of the NFL in the first month of the season with Carson Wentz, the rookie quarterback, kind of bursting onto the scene and whatnot. But five losses in their last seven games, so they're 5-5 in a very tough division. They're sitting at 500, but in last place in the NFC East. But five losses in their last seven games, and a few of those losses, awfully close ones, tough ones to swallow, including an overtime defeat on the road at Dallas. They were probably the team that has come the closest to beating the Cowboys during Dallas's current nine-game winning streak. So, the way I look at the Eagles, I don't look at that 5-5 record. I see this as a team that I watched most of the game when they really manhandled a 5-0 Minnesota Vikings team at the time that started Minnesota's slide there after the opening week. So this is a dangerous club.
Well, and then they were also the team that went in, and took on Pittsburgh and really punched them in the mouth in Week 3, 34-3. I think that at the time was like the worst loss the Steelers had in like over 30 years.
Yeah, like 30 years or something.
Just
like
remarkable
that,
what they were able to do. And Carson Wentz, the rookie quarterback. And the thing that impressed me, now the last, last week against Seattle, things kind of got away from them a little bit, but they beat Atlanta. Even some of these losses they've had, they've been within one score. And when you have a rookie quarterback to be in that kind of contention, I think you saw that a lot from the Packers in 2008 when Aaron Rodgers took over. I mean, to be able to have a first-year guy jump in there and be able to keep you in those games, you're eventually going to find ways to win them. And I think that that's been the positive sign for Wentz. Even these last couple weeks when maybe things haven't been going the same way and same direction, he showed a lot of poise there. And I think also for Peterson, having the faith to go with him – you know, over Sam Bradford and making that decision. You know, Chase Daniel, they bring him in and they pay him a lot of money to go with the young man. I think that says a lot about what Peterson's done in terms of getting him ready for that stage.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at this Eagles team 5-5, the Packers are 4-6. Both teams really fighting to save their season, I think you could say, on Monday night. And we've got a lot more with this matchup to break down when we come back after this, back with more on Packers Unscripted. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we got a lot to talk about with regards to the Eagles offense, but I wanted to touch on their defense briefly right away because defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, Jim Schwartz, a coach the Packers are certainly very familiar with from his years as a head coach of the Detroit Lions. And I think if there's a trademark with a Jim Schwartz defense, a lot of it is about bringing pressure, maybe in some exotic ways of trying to get after the quarterback. Now, the Eagles don't have any astronomical sack totals necessarily that jump off the page, but all you have to do is turn on the film of that victory they had over the Minnesota Vikings and how they got after Sam Bradford in that game to tell you that they're not going to hold back when it comes to trying to get to the quarterback.
No, they're not. And, you know, that's the thing about Schwartz, him coming in here, I know things didn't end well with the Lions, but he actually had a pretty good unit in Buffalo in 2014 when the Packers actually saw them out there and actually ended up losing that game in December of 14. Then took a year off after the decision was made to go with Rex Ryan as the head coach there. Comes back with Philadelphia now, and I've always liked his defenses. It's built more in a 4-3 mindset, which seems to probably work a little bit better with Philadelphia's personnel than what Chip Kelly was trying to do with the 3-4 there a year ago. So for them to be able to do this now, I think that this is something that there's not a guy you're going to point to and be like, okay, he has 9 sacks or 13 interceptions or anything crazy like that.
Right.
But across the board, they rally to the quarterback and they play disciplined football. They have played disciplined football this year. And I think those are two things that have really instilled a winning culture in Philadelphia, because when you have a young quarterback that might be prone to mistakes, you have to find ways to take away the football, and that's something Philadelphia has done this season.
Yeah, but it is that rookie quarterback who is the headliner for this team, make no mistake about it, Carson Wentz. A lot of people, it's funny, going back to the draft in the spring, a lot of people wondered, you know, would a North Dakota State University player actually be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft and make that leap? And he didn't end up going number one, but he went number two.
Yeah.
Philadelphia made the bid to get him, and they're certainly not disappointed. And any issues in terms of Wentz going from that 1AA or FCS level in college football to the NFL were answered pretty quickly. This is a kid who, by all accounts, looks like he belongs at this level.
Yeah, and it's really something else when you go back and think about, you know, I get how sometimes, you know, tight ends or defensive linemen might get overlooked coming in through the draft process. For Wentz, 6'5", 237 pounds, a native Raleigh, North Carolina, to kind of fall into the lap of North Dakota State. And I remember, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, he never lost a game as a starter? I'm trying to remember exactly how that all worked out.
It was some crazy
something
record.
Pretty nuts. Yeah. I mean, to be a multi-time national champion as well. There were question marks, but I think you've seen a lot of those things get answered. It showed that, you know, these first couple games, there's a long way to go for him. One season does not make a career. But as I said in the first segment, I mean, he's shown a lot of poise and an ability to run that offense in a city that can be somewhat volatile at times.
Yeah.
So for him to do that, I think people are jumping on the bandwagon. They're enjoying the ride. But there are still going to be a lot of learning opportunities, as we've seen over this last month. Been making a couple more mistakes than he made off of that first month of the season. And those are things I think the Packers are definitely going to be trying to capitalize on.
Yeah, and this is a kid who's been put into a heck of a lot of pressure cooker type situations right off the bat, not only being the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles and that fan base. I mean, just ask Donovan McNabb what he got thrown into when he came out of Syracuse and whatnot there. But you look at their games. He answered the call against Pittsburgh, as you mentioned, with that big win. They also have a big win this season over the Atlanta Falcons, the leaders of the NFC South. Also been in some close games they haven't been able to pull out. They lost one right at the wire to the Detroit Lions. I mentioned the overtime game down in Dallas. That would have been a tremendous road victory for a rookie quarterback and a new head coach in Peterson that they were oh so close to. But not a lot of situations that this young quarterback hasn't already faced.
No, and the one thing, as I mentioned, with the defense that helps him, I mean, you go back to that Minnesota game, which ended up being a 21-10 victory, with how much pressure they were able to put on Sam Bradford, it helped them overcome three turnovers in that game by Wentz in only having 138 passing yards. So they have a unit there that complements him well. Now the question is, I mean, with the games that they have lost, if you can put some pressure on him, if you can, you know, try to get some of those turnovers, is he going to be able to overcome them? And we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I mean, especially depending on what weapons are available for him, that definitely could be something that could be tough for him to overcome. But they're, you know, even though they lost to Seattle, I think they're going to feel pretty good about themselves coming off of that win against Atlanta and kind of where they stand at this part of the season.
Yeah, some dynamic special teams, you could say, too, for the Eagles. I believe they have two kickoff returns for touchdowns this season. They've also allowed a punt return for a touchdown this year as well. But I want to get to those weapons that are surrounding Carson Wentz, and we'll do that after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, the other weapons on offense surrounding Carson Wentz, an interesting collection here for the Eagles. But they're dealing with some injuries as well. Their two main running backs, Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, who just keeps on keeping on. You talk about a guy who's been an impact player for a lot of years in this league. But both of those guys dealing with injuries, we'll have to see what their availability is. Sometimes playing on the Monday night, getting the extra day before, you know, as opposed to a regular Sunday game can help. But some dynamic players in the backfield if they're healthy for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. You know, Ryan Matthews, I think everyone's known the book on him for all these years. I mean, when he's healthy, he's a really incredibly productive running back. Could be a quarterback, too. seven touchdowns so far this season. And in Darren Sproles, it goes without saying, the Packers have seen him multiple times during Mike McCarthy's 11 seasons in Green Bay, and I think each time is a headache. So he has a rib injury right now. Matthews is dealing with a knee injury, so we don't know what their availability is going to be if both or either are not able to play. Wendell Smallwood, their fifth-round pick out of West Virginia, would be the next man up there. He had 17 touches for 79 yards this past week. So there's a lot to like about him, but certainly when you look at Matthews and Sproles, of two veterans established and can be big difference makers to help out Wentz if they are available.
Yeah, for sure. The receiving core, nothing that necessarily jumps off the page for you about the Eagles. Jordan Matthews, we have to keep the Matthews straight here. One spells it with one T in Matthews, the other one is two T's in Matthews. But Jordan Matthews, the leading receiver for Carson Wentz. But we're hearing some headlines out of Philadelphia that Nelson Agholor, who's been struggling a little bit lately, might not be playing or might be getting some time off. I'm not exactly sure what the situation is there. And we're seeing some headlines out of Philadelphia, writers questioning whether Carson Wentz is almost being asked to do too much as a rookie quarterback because they haven't put enough weapons around him to really maximize his talents. Now, obviously, he's a rookie, and the Eagles have plenty of time to build around him. But it'll be interesting to see just what their passing game has come Monday night.
Well, and then that's one of the reasons why Sproles is so important. I mean, he's their third leading receiver this season. It's something he's done incredibly well throughout the course of the year. He has a 73-yard reception already on the year. But if he's not available, how do you replicate that production? You know, Zach Ertz has been a big part of this thing, utilizing those tight ends. We've seen that a lot with young quarterbacks. Jordan Matthews, I thought, has kind of broken out a little bit. You know, he's not a huge red zone threat, but his head between the hashes has been pretty productive for them. As you said, Agholor is such a weird situation right now. I mean, I think the last headline I saw is that Peterson's not ruling out benching him or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're not really sure what to expect there. But, I mean, with Ertz, And if Sproles is there, I mean, that's kind of their 1-2 go-to punch. If they're not there, the question is, how exactly do you replicate that production? How do you help out Wentz? Because really, those two have been the biggest safety valves for him this season.
Yeah, and when you look at what the Packers have done defensively, or I should say what opposing tight ends have done, Delanie Walker and Jordan Reed, the last two games for the Titans and the Redskins, you have to believe that Carson Wentz is going to be looking to Zach Ertz. I think the tight end could be a big part of things here, especially if you don't have Ryan Matthews and or Darren Sproles,
right,
both to either carry the ball or catch the passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, and Ertz in his fourth year out of Stanford. Now, his numbers aren't going to jump off the page to you. 35 catches, 337 yards, and a touchdown this year, but he's actually been really effective the past 3 weeks. I mean, he had 97 yards against the Giants, 55 against Atlanta, then had a touchdown this past week against Seattle. So he finds ways to be impactful, maybe not having the same type of season he had a year ago where he kind of broke out with 75 catches. But I mean, at 6'5", 250 pounds, I mean, he's a guy you're going to have to account for. And if the Philadelphia is looking at that tape from a week ago and the issues the Packers had against Jordan Reed, that's something I'm sure Doug Peterson and his coaching staff are going to keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we go to a break here, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, before we go, let's take a look at these Thanksgiving Day games. A full day of football, as has been the tradition in the United States for a long time on Thanksgiving Day. And boy, a heck of a big one in the NFC North right off the bat. Minnesota at Detroit, both teams 6-4. The winner will be 7-4, and with a one-game lead with five games to go in the division. Who do you like in this one?
Well, first off, Michael, when I think about this, this is one of the most exciting slates of Thanksgiving Day football that I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some good ones in recent years, but in terms of the implications with both of these games, I think it's really exciting. The NFC North matchup here between the Vikings and Detroit, there's three different outcomes here. The winner is going to be in really the driving seat, I think, for the NFC North. I think if the Packers can find a way past Philadelphia, I think that they're the second team out of this that's going to benefit. That whoever loses this, though, is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, this is an opportunity now for Detroit to sweep Minnesota in the series.
To get a sweep, absolutely.
I don't know the exact statistics on this and how this has worked out in the NFC North, but it's been tough for teams to win a division after getting swept in recent history, if it's been any indication. So there's a lot of things going on here. You have Detroit 5-1 now in their last six. You have Minnesota, I think, is feeling good about themselves after turning back Arizona. It'll be interesting to see who can prevail.
Yeah, for sure. And when if you look at it from the Packers fans' point of view, I think, and I can't be sure about this, but I think you probably want Detroit to win this game.
I would agree.
And I say that because you look at Detroit's schedule. They have road games at New Orleans, at the Giants, and at the Cowboys coming up between this Thanksgiving game and then when the Packers would play Detroit in Week 17. So if you're the Packers, I think with Detroit having the tougher schedule, remaining schedule, I think you want Minnesota to take another loss here, and then you hope that Detroit maybe takes some losses on the road later on.
Absolutely. But this is the thing I really like about this from the Packers' perspective is because, one, if Detroit does lose, well, then finally maybe their momentum stopped a little bit after getting on this big run that they have. Two, if Minnesota loses, where are the Vikings right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, yeah, you kind of rallied back and you won one, but you've still lost five of your last six. So exactly who prevails, I think there's a silver lining to each. But as you pointed out, obviously you look at Detroit, how they've played on the road, some of the issues that they've had historically. That is something that could benefit the Packers going forward if Detroit would find a way to prevail at home.
Yeah, and we saw 3 years ago that Detroit looked like they were totally in the driver's seat when they pounded the Packers on Thanksgiving with Aaron Aaron Rodgers injured and Matt Flynn at quarterback, a 40-10 victory for Detroit. They were completely in control of the NFC North, and then they completely let it get away in the month of December. So, but also briefly to touch on the other game in the NFC coming right after that on Thanksgiving Day will be Washington at Dallas, the Redskins coming off of the big offensive explosion against Green Bay, and the Cowboys, actually I heard it's the first 9-game winning streak in the history of that vaunted franchise. Yeah, first time they've ever won 9 in a row. And I don't know about you, Wes, and I know there's still a lot of football left, 6 regular season games for everybody, but it's really hard in a lot of ways to envision right now 2 teams not playing, or two teams other than the Cowboys and the Seahawks playing for the NFC Championship. Right now, they look like the 2 best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the past couple of years, the first 10 weeks of the season has been a pretty good indicator of who's going to end up in that game. You think of Green Bay in 2011, 2014, Seattle last year with Carolina. But at the same time, this is what the Washington Redskins have worked for. This is the opportunity that they've been trying to get to. If you can find a way to win this game, well, now that gap between them and the Giants in Dallas, it isn't as daunting. So I think this is going to be an important game for them to really be able to show that they can hold in there with Dallas. From the Cowboys' perspective, you just want to keep it going. The way that they've been playing, you want to make sure that you don't end up having that lull at the end of the season after playing so much good football for the first 3 months, really.
Yeah, and the Cowboys have they have a home game, I believe, the following Thursday night against the Vikings, and then also a home game later on with the Lions. So a lot of Dallas Cowboys games we're going to be paying attention to here as we go along. And then quickly, the night game on Thanksgiving, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis, 2 teams in the AFC that are both trying to fight to stay in the picture here, and now the Colts dealing with possibly a concussion issue with Andrew Luck, which could really throw that game for a loop.
And if Luck doesn't play, the Scott Tolzien era, finally Scott getting a chance to get out there, that would be interesting to see.
That would be fun to watch on Thursday night. So, all right, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.